Your speaker is John Grubb.
Welcome to our program. We are talking about the plea of Churches of Christ. And we have discussed a number of different things that relate to the church that Jesus built. We're continuing our study by pointing out that there are no terms of entrance into the church that Jesus built, but by the new birth. You see, the church is the kingdom. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19 says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 and 28, the writer says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 and 28. A person enters the kingdom, that is the church, by being born again. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus, and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." What is the new birth? What is this spiritual birth as opposed to a physical birth? The new birth is belief and baptism. Mark 16, 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." This new birth takes place after total obedience to the gospel. That includes faith, repentance, and confession, followed by baptism. John 8, 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Paul says, as recorded in Acts 17, 30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Yes, these are things that must be done before a person is immersed in water for the remission of sins. Being born again means that we are obeying the commands of God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works or many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You see, in order to go to heaven, we have to obey the will of God. And being born again means that we have obeyed God's will. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Yes, the plea of the churches of Christ is the way to get into the kingdom, is to be born again. And that means to obey the gospel of Christ. Further, the plea of churches of Christ is to use no vocabulary, no words, but the oracles of God. There is a motto that has been followed for years by members of the Church of Christ, which says, where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent. We call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways. And the Bible says that as well in these words, 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Well, what are some words or phrases that are not from God's word, that are not speaking as the oracles of God? One phrase would be joining the church. You know, joining is something that man does, but God adds people to His church. Acts 2:41 and 47. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls joined the church. Oh, that's not what the Bible says. It says 3,000 souls were added to them. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Joining the church is not phrases from God's word. Sometimes the Lord's Supper is called the Eucharist or sacrament, but the New Testament calls it the Lord's Supper or communion. 1 Corinthians 11:20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, Paul says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So let's use Bible words to describe Bible activities. The breaking of bread took place on the first day of the week, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts 20 and verse 7 adds, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. You see, nowhere does the Bible speak of joining the church of your choice, calling preachers reverends, pastors, or fathers. Nowhere does the Bible talk about getting religion. James 1:27 tells us that pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You see, religion is not something that you get. It is something that you do. There is only one church. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus said, I will build my church, one church, not thousands of churches. Also, religious titles are forbidden. Jesus says in Matthew 23, verses 8 through 12, "But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teacher, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted." As we've already noted together from James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The plea of churches of Christ is to have no hope but heaven. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4, Paul says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called, in one hope of your calling." We have one hope. What is that hope? It's heaven. Colossians 1 and verse 5, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Titus 1 and verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." Premillennialism offers multiple or many hopes. This teaches, premillennialism does, Christ is coming back to rapture the saints, and after 7 years will return to establish His kingdom and reign on the earth 1,000 years. That is definitely not speaking as the Bible speaks. This doctrine teaches the judgment will then occur after that 1,000 years, and eternity will then begin. Premillennialism teaches false doctrine. The rapture doctrine is not taught in the Bible. Instead, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will not live on the earth 1,000 years, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Paul discusses the hope of heaven. We have one hope. That is eternal life in heaven, not some in-between hope based upon false study and reasoning from the Bible. There is no evidence Jesus will ever come back to the earth. Again, note 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Peter adds, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Premillennialism teaches there will be many signs concerning Jesus coming back to the earth. Peter says he's going to return as a thief in the night. Hopefully you have never had the problem of a thief breaking into your house and stealing your possessions. But I do know that when a thief comes to your house, he does not call you on the telephone or send you a letter 3 or 4 days before he's coming. Nor does he say, I'm coming on such and such a date at such and such a time. He doesn't give you a warning. He comes when you least expect it. And Christ is going to come like a thief in the night. Nobody knows when he's going to come. And when he returns, the earth will be destroyed, according to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. Also, we've already discussed in our study, the kingdom has already been established. Colossians 1:13 and 14 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We're already in the kingdom. The kingdom is not something that's coming in the future. Paul says in the first century, we've already been conveyed into the kingdom. And then he says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Yes, Jesus is right now reigning on David's throne. Peter says it in Acts chapter 2, verses 30 and 34. He says, Therefore, being a prophet, speaking concerning David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand. That's Acts chapter 2, verses 30 and 34. The kingdom will be delivered up to the Father when Jesus comes. It will not be set up. It will be given back to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 23 and 24. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at His coming. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 23 and 24. In our day and time, members of churches of Christ are proclaiming our plea as never before. And yet we know that millions upon millions are waiting to hear this message. It is our hope as we present this lesson that those who are already members of the Lord's church will continue to remember the responsibility that we have to present this plea to the world. And if you are not a member of the Lord's church, it is our hope that you will pay attention to this urgent request that we are making, because the most important thing in this world is to go to heaven. And how can we do that? How can we go to heaven? By obeying the will of God. So that means we must first hear the gospel of Christ. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we hear the gospel, hopefully it will fall upon good soil and will bear fruit, which means when you hear the gospel proclaimed, you believe it with all of your heart. You then make your faith known by confessing your faith in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. That you believe that God exists and that He created this universe. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And then because you have this faith in God, faith in Christ, and are willing to confess that before others, you also are willing to repent of your sins. It's very difficult to repent because it means we're going to change our minds in regard to sin, to change our will in regard to sin. And then once we do that, we change our manner of life. When we change our manner of life, then we're also then ready to be immersed in water so that our sins can be washed away and we can be added to the Lord's church. Once we are added to the Lord's church, we are in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are available to us. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Also, we have the responsibility, as set forth in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, to continue to walk in the light, that is, according to the teachings of the Bible. And as we sin, to confess our sins to God. That's what Christians do. Also, we have the other responsibilities of worship, of teaching others the gospel of Christ, putting the Lord first so that we can go to heaven, which is our goal. We hope that where you live, in your area, the Lord's church exists. If you will contact us, we will let you know of a congregation in your area. It is possible that you might live somewhere where the church does not exist. And if that is the case, then you can obey the gospel and then you can establish the church in your own home or in the community in which you live by following the teachings of the Bible, worshiping according to the New Testament, which involves, of course, every first day of the week, partaking of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. We can help you to learn how to make unleavened bread. It may be where you live you are not able to buy 100% grape juice. If that's the case, we can tell you how to make grape juice by boiling raisins so that you then have the ability to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week in your own community. It is our hope as children of God that we can all work and live in such a way that we will bring glory to God, that we will help as many people as we possibly can to become His children by obeying His will. There are billions and billions of people living on this earth who have not yet had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. We are thankful that you can hear the gospel proclaimed and you can render obedience to God's will. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We hope as you hear this word that you will continue to study your Bibles, that you will learn what God would have you and every one of us to do in order to be pleasing unto Him.